we have our guest on the phone. I'm excited. I've got a guest, and, you know, a lot of you may recognize him. Do I got my music here for it? Okay. It is none other than the Zorba Pastor, who airs on this station on weekends. Zorba.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I don't know if I can talk to you without Tom Clark's assistant.
That's exactly right. You know, whenever I travel around either Minnesota or Wisconsin speaking, the first thing they ask me is, how's Tom and why isn't he here? They think that we're sort of connected at the side because we are on the radio, that's for sure.
Well, you see, I need him to translate. You know, when you do the recipes and he does the big T, one big T.
I know, that's what he says. He does it in his sleep, big T, little T. It's exactly it. That is funny.
Well, Zorba, where are you from? Because you have a, I don't know, not really an accent, but I don't know what to call it.
No, I was born in Chicago. Spent the first 18 years of my life in Chicago, and then I left for the promised land of Wisconsin, and I've been here ever since.
Whereabouts in Wisconsin are you?
Madison.
Oh, well, everybody knows. I'm from Amory, Wisconsin, which you've probably never heard of.
Now, we're Amory? Now, where's that?
It's in northwestern Wisconsin, 60 miles east of Minneapolis and St. Paul. So for all intents and purposes, I'm a Viking because I was 15 or 18 miles from the Minnesota border, just near, you know, Minneapolis, St. Paul. So,
got it. So you're on the Brett Favre side of the whole fiasco.
Yes, I am. You know, Zorba, what kind of a doctor background? You know, you're Dr. Zorba, pastor, and did you get your medical training somewhere, and how did you end up in radio?
Well, I went to undergraduate school at the UW in Madison, went back to Chicago for medical school, finished up my training in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. My wife and I thought that we might want to live there, but it turns out that's pretty far away. In fact, Halifax is as far away from Chicago, where our relatives are, as San Francisco is. It's really far. So we came back to the Midwest, moved up to Madison, and I've been here ever since. I've been here for about 30 years.
Now, did you actually practice as a doctor for a while?
Oh, no. I still practice as a doctor. In fact, that's what I'll be doing this afternoon. I have a family practice. I work in a clinic in Oregon, which is a little bit south of Madison. I've been there the whole time. And it's a wonderful family practice clinic. My kids went to school there. The town was 2,500, no stoplights, and now the town is 7,000, and we have 3 stoplights and a McDonald's.
It's because you're there, Zorba. It's like your fame.
That's it. That's exactly it. Everything just came
to
that town.
So did you have, like, somebody, a client, come in the office one day and say, wow, you've got a great voice for radio. Why don't you be on my show? Or how did that happen?
Well, it's because I always tell people the reason is because I couldn't write. I mean, I submitted a column to my hometown newspaper, the Oregon Observer, and they said, well, thank you very much, but we're really not interested in there. You don't know how to write. And I thought, well, if I can't write, I certainly can talk. And then I approached the people of Wisconsin Public Radio, and then, you know, things kind of developed from there, and I love doing this. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun to really bring out good medical information to the public.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a big listener to in the morning when I wake up after my children wake me up real early and I have a few minutes to listen. I certainly enjoy listening to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Where did Tom come from, by the way? Is he like a friend?
Tom is somewhere in central Wisconsin, but he's traveled all over. He's lived in a variety of places, so he's a hard accent to really capture. I mean, because I don't think he grew up in one town, but he was somewhere in central Wisconsin, not too far from the Minnesota border.
Now, interestingly enough, when you were pitched to speak on radio, you know, do radio shows, they wanted you to talk about Scout.
Right. Right.
So I was just curious, why Zorba Pastor, why Scout?
Well, among other things, because one of the other things I do is research. And I've been doing research for about 25 years, and we did research on the drug Ulorac, which is the new kid on the block. And I have probably more experience, as much, if not more experience than any other physician with this particular drug. We've had people on it for, well, it was approved a year ago, but prior to approval, we had people on it for 5 years. So I probably have had about 6 or 7 years of experience with the drug. And gout is a common problem. In family practice, we treat the common problems, diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, and so on. And gout is a common problem. And one of the issues with gout is that it's undertreated.
All right. I'll just stop you there because, honestly, I've heard of gout, but I really honestly don't know what it is or what causes it or anything.
Well, gout is caused by too much uric acid. That's what it is. And it's not caused by diet. It's an error of metabolism. In other words, what happens is we digest proteins. Proteins contain amino acids. One amino acid has a byproduct called uric acid. And for some people, either they produce too much uric acid or they don't excrete enough uric acid. And if it builds up in your body and, number two is the important and you have the inherited trait, the predisposition to have it, then what you get is you get these flares, gout attacks, which are red, hot, tender joints. 50% of the time it's the great toe, the other 50% of the time it's other joints. And you get it over and over and over again. And some people get it once a year, once every 2 years, and some people get it once a month. And it's just awful stuff.
Zorba, is it similar to arthritis then, or is it completely?
Well, it is a form of arthritis. In fact, it is the most common form of inflammatory arthritis in men in America. So it's intense inflammation of the joint. It's intense inflammation of the joint. And the way, and the estimation is that there are about 5 million people who have gout. And what happens is the heavier you are, the more likely you are to get it. And the physician's health study showed that once you gained about 20, 25 pounds of weight, if you were a guy, you over doubled the chances that you were actually going to have gout. So we know that it's related to obesity. You know, that's one of the issues that sort of brings out the gene, if you will. But diet plays a minor role. I mean, you used to think if you stop shellfish, well, who eats shellfish in the Midwest? Wisconsin is the number two state for gout. Guess what number one is?
Minnesota?
No, almost. Alaska. It was a trick question. Minnesota's way up there, though. And it's because we have the predisposition in our genetic makeup of many of the people in the state. And then we're overweight. I mean, let's face it, the state is overweight. Minnesota is overweight, too.
She's overdosed, yeah.
You know, that's part of it. But it's an inherited trait. So it's the metabolic trait. And the way you treat it, initially you treat the flare with an anti-inflammatory drug, such as Indocin and Indomethacin, which is a prescription drug. And then what you want to do is you want to lower uric acid. Lower uric acid. And if you lower uric acid to 6 or less, that's the magic number. People have got often know their uric acid, just like people with diabetes know their blood sugar. If you lower your uric acid to 6 or less, you greatly diminish the risk of your having a flare. And the goal ultimately is to be flare-free. That's the goal.
Well, now I assume uric acid has some role or and it's there for a reason, but it's like if you have too much, or is uric acid?
No, it's just a waste product. That's all it is. It's just part of the product. It's just part of the waste. When we actually metabolize protein, we use it for energy, or we may use it for building blocks, and then we have waste, and we excrete it. And that's all it is. It's a byproduct, and some people don't excrete it as well as others. It really has no use in the body. It's simply the end product that we excrete, basically, through our kidneys. And if you don't excrete it, then you build it up in the body. And if you have, you know, the predisposition to gout, you then get the flare. And during the flare, the uric acid is lower in the bloodstream because it's going into the joint. It's going into the joint, causing the discomfort. So generally, if you've got a gout flare, you see your doctor, you don't measure uric acid at that visit because the uric acid is not going to be elevated. It's going to be low. 2 weeks later, if you measure it, then it will be elevated, and then you can see where you are and figure out what treatment is best for you.
So do doctors, are they able to recognize it almost right away, or because it isn't measurable right away, do they?
No, pretty much so you recognize it by the clinical history. That's where most of the diagnoses are made. They're made by the clinical history of a red-hot swollen joint. And usually doctors will know from that. Now, the gold standard is to stick a needle in that hot joint and take out the fluid and put it under the microscope. But that happens about 1% of the time, only with people who you're unsure of. You can make the presumptive diagnosis of gout by history and physical examination. And that's pretty much what most people, what most doctors essentially go on.
Okay, so you can, there's medicine.
You bet. You bet. The medicine that has been on the market is the first drug is allopurinol. Allopurinol has been on the market for 40 years. It's an effective drug for many people with gout. Many people with gout can become symptom-free on allopurinol, and it works well. It's a generic. It's cheap. But there's a new kid on the market, a drug called Ulorec, that is more effective than allopurinol at the 80 milligram dose. It's more effective. And for people who don't reach that magic number of 6.0, or for people who continue to flare, that's where this new drug plays a role.
Okay. I want to ask you, are you being paid to endorse this, just so people know?
I am on their speakers bureau, absolutely. And also, when I did the research for 5 years, this all goes through my regular office practice. This goes through my regular office practice, too. Yeah, that is the case. I'm one of the spokespeople for this medication. Yes, exactly.
What other kind of research do you do then?
We're doing research on an inhaler for chronic obstructive lung disease. We're testing a new drug in our office for cholesterol. It's one of the other drugs we're going to be doing. We're finishing up the use of a drug for an antidepressant called Cymbalta for depression. So one of the other things I do in addition to the radio show and my regular practice is I'm always testing about two or three different drugs. The drugs that we've tested that have come on the market, we did Lipitor before it came on the market. We did a drug called Zithromax, which is called a Z-Pak, which is an antibiotic. We did a number of antibiotics. We've done a number of arthritis pills, cholesterol pills, and so on. So it's one of my other passions is working to bring new useful medications to the marketplace.
Now, you mentioned the Z-Pak. I've had the Z-Pak, and it to me was like a miracle drug when you get
right.
Instead of taking doses and doses of, well, I'm allergic to penicillin anyway, but it you take it and you get better quickly. So, I mean, I assume that you must have seen things like that happen when you...
Oh, yeah, and we tested that in children and in adults, and when that first came on the market, because I'm a researcher, I went around talking about it to give the information. Because inevitably, the only things that should persuade a physician to prescribe a drug or not is if the drug has an advantage. Mm-hmm. And so for Z-Pak, the advantage was 5 days, better than erythromycin because it doesn't upset the stomach, and it was very useful, so I spoke about it. And the advantage for Ulorec is not for the patients who are controlled on allopurinol. Those people should stay on it. It's cheap. It's inexpensive. It's $4 a month at Walmart. That's the drug of choice. But for those people who flare and who are not controlled on it, that's really where this drug plays a role. And that's why most health plans, pretty much about 70 or 80% of all the health plans in the country, it may even be above that, put this on as a second-tier drug because it's useful in that vein. And prior to coming out, frankly, in one of the radio interviews I recently did, showed there was a guy who continued to have flare. He had terrible knee pain, terrible discomfort, and allopurinol wasn't doing the trick. So that's where Ulorec sort of fits in.
Is there a certain age when people are more likely to get gout? You said obesity is definitely a factor, but what about age? Is that...
Well, women after menopause. That's when women tend to get it. 1 out of 4 gout sufferers are women. So women after menopause are more likely to get gout. Men can get it at any age, but most commonly they're sort of mid-age men. Guys in their 30s and 40s are most likely to get it, but you can get it when you're 15 or 20. Usually more likely in your 30s and 40s, and then it continues to bother you, unless you lower that uric acid, in which case you take your pill every day. Now, some people get one gout flare a year or one every 2 years, and their flare isn't awful. Those people don't necessarily need to take a drug. I think what's important is that you should know that the drug is available so you can then make a decision. You know,
what's the tip that you have gout? I mean, is there something that versus something else? You know, how would you know that this is a problem?
Well, you have to go to your doctor because sometimes you can't tell. Sometimes you can get a red-hot swollen joint and it's an infection. And you need an antibiotic, and that's important to treat with an antibiotic. Or you have these minimal flares, and you can't tell all the time. Maybe it's rheumatoid arthritis, maybe it's gout, maybe it's osteoarthritis. And that's where you need a good clinician, family doctor, internal medicine doc, or rheumatologist to make the diagnosis. If it's not clear cut, you need a good clinician. And as a patient, you need to often have a good clinician to make that decision.
Okay.
You know, you can only read so much, and then you have to go to your doctor to figure out what you have.
We're talking with Zorba Pastor, who is a regular feature on our program here at KMSU. And Zorba is coming to us. I think you're in Madison right now, correct?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Overlooking our beautiful snow.
We've got a lot, too. So I've got another question. Since you've got your own practice, which I wasn't aware of, I guess, I was just curious if you've had much experience this season with the H1N1 flu virus or anything in particular that's been keeping up.
Well, we've had a fair number of people with H1N1. In fact, one of the drugs that we tested last year was a drug by a company called BioCris, and it was called Paramivir. And it was very interesting because last year you had to catch people within 24 hours. We had great trouble getting people. It was an injection to cure influenza. And we had a lot of trouble. We had very few people wanted to have an injection to actually try to cure influenza. This year we decided about 6 months ago, before the H1N1 scare, or not a scare actually happened, not to particularly take that study because it was so difficult to fill. And this year I could have probably had 20 or 30 people on the drug, which is kind of interesting. We've seen a fair amount of it. College students, you know, under the age of 25, those are the ones who are most likely to get it. But we've seen some senior citizens who get it too, and some little children.
Have you had any deaths or many deaths down there?
We haven't had too many deaths. It's because we've got good medical care. People get it, you know, get in right away, and if they need to be on a ventilator, they're on it right away. You know, the better the medical care, the least likely you are to die from the disease. But it's a wicked thing if you get it and you don't have any antibodies to it. It is wicked, absolutely.
We ironically had the head of our medical clinic in Waseca, which is a neighboring town, who he's the head of the clinic administration. He's 53. He actually died of the H1N1.
Oh, wow. That's terrible.
And how ironic is that, that, you know, he's...
That's terrible.
Clinic.
That's awful.
And
sure.
In case he didn't have any underlying health...
No. That's the whole thing about it. Unlike a seasonal flu, which tends to hit you if you have underlying health problems, this just hits you. That's exactly it.
Have you seen much of any of the other, what they call the other flu, besides the...
No, that really is just starting to hit. That flu, the seasonal flu tends to hit around January. So there's not a lot of seasonal flu around right now. It's mostly H1N1. Seasonal flu will begin to hit, and that, of course, kills 20,000 people a year.
Wow.
We can't forget that. It's a lot of folks.
Is it still too late to get vaccinated if you haven't, like myself?
No, it's never too late. Vaccine work starts in 1 week.
Okay.
But there is no vaccine for gout. That would be good. Would that be nice if there was a vaccine for gout and diabetes and hypertension? That would be wonderful.
And cancer and heart attacks. And
Exactly. It's still infectious disease. That's where our vaccines are good.
And so what is your next project?
I'm not exactly sure what my next project would be. I don't know what my next project will be. The next project that we'll be doing will be some new studies for lipids. That'll be the next project.
Lipids? Okay.
For cholesterol.
Right. I was just curious, what's the biggest or most common question you get on your show, Zorba Pastorless show with you and Tom? What's the most popular question or...
Is Tom's diet really that bad? That's the most common question we get. And the answer is yes.
Is Tom a big guy or something, or is he out of shape?
No, he's not a big guy. He's actually a tall, thin guy. He's not. He's not a big guy, but he has a lousy diet. But he's not a thin guy. 5% of the people can't gain weight, and that's Tom. He's one of those people.
That just brings up something that I'm just curious about, too, as long as I got you on the phone. So if you are thin, people automatically think you're not at risk for a heart attack or things like that. But I think that's a myth, isn't it?
Oh, no. That's exactly the case. That definitely is a myth. But it's like that with other diseases. You can be a thin diabetic. You can be a thin gout sufferer. You can be a thin hypertensive. You know, that's only one of the... You know, one of the factors, it's the genetic predisposition that, you know, that affects you. So the genetic predisposition to diabetes usually is a factor. The same for high blood pressure, the same for gout, the same for heart disease. Genes play a role, diet plays a role, exercise plays a role. But in all these cases of chronic diseases, it's a matter of taking the appropriate medication to get things under control, especially with chronic disease.
Is Tom Clark a heart attack waiting to happen is what I want to know.
Well, no, he exercises and he doesn't smoke cigarettes, and he has no family history, so he's probably not that bad, and he's not overweight.
Okay, so you just got to work on his diet.
I'll have to tell him that you care about him.
Yes. Is there a website or something that you have some of this good information that people can go to if they would like to look up more on different illnesses or whatever?
Well, they can go to zorbapastor.org. That's one website, sorbapastor.org. The gout website is gout.com. And then, frankly, I tell people to pick out a university website, you know, with a medical school and the name of the disease, because that can also be very useful. So.
I want to make clear to people that Zorba Pastor, it's P-A-S-T-E-R. I always thought you were either a pastor, like a, you know, a church pastor, or a pastor, like where the cows eat grass.
Yes, but I'm not.
P-A-S-T-E-R.
Exactly.
Dot org. So anything else you'd like to add or share with folks, as long as they got you? It's been delightful.
No, I think they should take care of their bodies. Most important thing is patient is health literacy. The more you know about your health, the longer you're going to live and the better patient you're going to be. Better care you're going to get.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Zorba. It's great talking to you, and we look forward to hearing more shows from you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.